Let's turn in our Bibles today to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And we want to talk about praying in the name of Jesus. And there's power in the name of Jesus. I know you know that. We have to be reminded. Praise God. Thank God for the name of Jesus. In much of the Jewish world, when Jesus walked the face of this earth and when he, in his earthly ministry, most of the Jewish culture did not accept him as the promised Messiah. They believed in a Messiah, but they didn't believe that Jesus was it. Of course, he is and was, always will be. But so they started preaching after the day of Pentecost. They started preaching in the name of Jesus. And it upset some of the spiritual leaders because they didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They just believed he was a good teacher or whatever. But as they proclaimed the name of Jesus, he began to show himself powerful and alive, that he was not just another person, not just another rabbi, but he was and is the Son of God. So let's notice the scripture here in Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. I'd say that's a pretty good response to an altar call, wouldn't it? Verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this thing? Now, if you're in the previous chapter, Peter and John had just gone to the temple, and a man had been healed completely, and he went walking and leaping through the temple. He had never walked, and he was happy and praising God. And so they're calling them, says, you know, what are you doing here? And he began to tell them what they were doing. In the name of Jesus. By what name have you done this? Referring to the man that was healed in the third chapter. Verse 8, 4 and 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, the rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we're judged for a good deed done to this helpless man by what means he has been made whole, let it be known to you and all, to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. Let's move down to the same chapter, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, stretching your hands to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one mind. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Father, I pray, God, your anointing upon the ministry of the word of God today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praying the name of Jesus into our world. There's a lot of people that pray the name of Jesus or believe that there was such a person as Jesus. I don't believe there was just such a person as Jesus. I just believe he's a wonderful Jesus. He's God. He's Lord. He's King. He lives in my heart, your heart if you're saved. And so that's good. But not everybody here believed that Jesus was who he said he was. They did not necessarily believe that he came from the Father in heaven. They did not really believe he was the Son of God, even though the miracles and the signs and the wonders which he did, because nobody could ever done or could ever do, because it took somebody divine, which Jesus was and is divine. Well, look, first of all, here we see that the name of Jesus was forbidden. And so when people are forbidden about the name of Jesus, it is a direct threat of the satanic kingdom of lies. And so anything that the enemy comes about is to attack the truth. And the devil cannot produce truth because there's no truth in him. Jesus labeled him as the father of lies, John 8:44. And so here, preaching Jesus was viewed as a threat to the Jewish leaders, leaders who had rejected Jesus as the promised Messiah. And so they were not happy about people going around and preaching Jesus and preaching his, especially preaching his resurrection from the dead, and especially preaching that he was the Son of God. They didn't take that well. And so they feared that their place in society would be taken, their name and their position of power would be threatened, and that Rome, the ruling government, would take over their place. And they were concerned about their place. A few years ago, a lady asked Sister Norma, said, I sit here every Sunday, can I put my name on the back of this chair? And Sister Norma said, no. As you can see, they're all the same color. They all padded. Amen. But we're concerned about our place. And here, the nation of Israel, the leaders, the religious leaders, they were concerned about their place. And so, and their name meant something, and they didn't want to lose their place in the government. They didn't want to lose their place in the religious worlds. They were threatened by the preaching of Jesus' name, that they would be replaced by Jesus. Let me tell you something. There's no greater replacement than Jesus. He needs to replace everything. Praise God. And so God has a place prepared for you who believe in him, a permanent place called heaven. Praise the Lord. And here their unbelief would be exposed. They refused to believe who Jesus was, even though they had seen his miracles, his signs, and wonders. Can you imagine living in a world where somebody comes along and they're able to raise the dead, and they're able to make lame people walk, and make blind people see, and deaf people to hear, and just refuse, oh, well, that be that as it may, I just don't believe. How can you not believe? Okay? But that's what had happened here in this nation. Jesus had done powerful things among healing, deliverance from every demonic power. He cast out demons. And his power even had the power to resurrect the dead, yet they persisted in unbelief. What does it take for people to believe? But you see, the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, and to lie. But the church is supposed to be a place where truth comes out, where truth is preached. And the church is supposed to be a place of prayer and a place of worship. It's not to be what church can put on the best performance, and it happens in some churches. But the church is to be a place where people can meet God, Not that God is not everywhere else, He is, but when people come together, and the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching. So it's God's will for me to gather like you are today and to pray and to worship and to seek the face of God. Amen. So we can experience His presence. And so it isn't enough to know about Jesus. You have to experience Jesus. We can know about a lot of things. I can know there's a moon up there and there's other planets, but I've never experienced them. Some people have walked on the moon. I haven't. It wasn't me. So it isn't enough to know about Jesus. You have to experience Jesus. You can't know about forgiveness until you experience His forgiveness. You can't know about His acceptance unless you know that God has accepted you as one of His children. And you can't know about His love until you've experienced His love, until you believe that He loves you. And you can't experience hope until He gives you hope. But I want to tell you the good news today is you can experience Jesus. You can be forgiven. You can be accepted into His kingdom. You can experience and have His love all your life and for eternity. And you can have His blessed hope, eternal hope, wonderful hope, hope that will not fade away. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given unto us. We can love God and know God and looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us, gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. Amen. So God can be experienced. And so why would people walk around and forbid people to speak the name of Jesus? Persecution today keeps some people from speaking the name of Jesus freely. You can be persecuted, you can be executed in some places in the world today because of Buddhism or Islam. And so there's great persecution today. And so, you know, church, our goal is and our responsibility is to call out and say, Lord Jesus, give strength and power and help for those who are hurting and suffering and cannot be free and are imprisoned and tortured for their faith and even killed for their faith. It's our responsibility as a church to pray for them. Pray the grace of God will help them. Pray the grace of God will be with them, that they will boldly speak the name of Jesus regardless of what the cost are. They live the faith. You say, we can say that about them, but what about me? My friend, I don't know how persecution will become, how strong it will become in the age that we live in, but if it comes to the place where we're no longer allowed in public to speak the name of Jesus, God's grace, God's power, God's grace is sufficient, and God's strength will be made perfect in our weakness, and we will proclaim the name of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, as the resurrection and the life, as the light of the world. We'll proclaim Him continually. Because God will give us the grace and the strength to do so. Here to speak the name of Jesus, they were threatened. The cost to follow Jesus, to preach His word, to proclaim Jesus as the only way to heaven, brought opposition and persecution. And we don't know what persecution is much here in our Western world. We think persecution is if somebody makes fun of you because you preach Jesus. We think persecution is somebody that won't let their mate go to church. And that may be persecution. Opposition. Maybe there won't be allowed things to be on job, or you won't be promoted to a certain position in your job if you claim to be a Christian or if you're vocal about it. But there's always going to be opposition to the truth. The devil makes sure that ever there's opposition to the truth. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So it's truth. And the reason we're on our way to heaven today, because God allowed us to hear the truth and respond to the gospel message and be saved and be born again of His Spirit and become one of His. The message that will change lives is still threatened today. The exclusion of any other way to heaven and eternal life isn't received well by many. And there will be people tell you, well, all religions are just the same and everybody goes to heaven, regardless of what religion you are. That's a false religion. It's called universalism, and that is the belief that all religions lead to heaven. But that isn't a truth. That's a lie. Only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can forgive your sins. Only Jesus can give you eternal life. Only Jesus can give you hope beyond this world and eternal hope. Praise the Lord. So when that's preached and taught today, you say, well, everybody's okay. I had a guy tell me one time when I was on secular jobs, it's all the same stuff. Well, it's not all the same stuff. I've heard a lot of stuff, hear more stuff that's not Jesus than anything. But I'm going to tell you, the message of the cross is the right thing. Praise the Lord. Opposition to the truth. But it's opposition to the truth that sets people free. The truth makes people free. Praise God. In the book of 3 John, not very many sermons are preached out there because it's one chapter. 2nd, 3rd John and Jude, if you want to say, I read a whole book of the Bible today, you can read one of them. Each one of them has one chapter. But in 3rd John, it says, to the people John is preaching to here, he says, for I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Thank God for the truth that makes us free. The truth is a message of truth that will lead us to eternal life. Praise God. And so we want to walk in truth. Second of all, here in our reading, our text here in John in Acts chapter 4, they were fearful, you know, they said, by your preaching Jesus in this name, now this is religious leaders talking to the people that proclaim the name of Jesus, says, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. And so you see, Jesus had, or God had a truth that was revealed time and time again that God hates the shedding of innocent blood. Amen. God does hate the shedding of innocent blood. That goes to every abortionist, every clinic that wants to take people out and kill babies. They're guilty of shedding the innocent blood. I want to tell you, those kind of people are going to split hell wide open. But the truth sets people free and gives people freedom from the wages of sin and from the bondage of sin. Praise the Lord. Because sin is bondage. And the devil doesn't want to hear anything about the blood of Jesus. And the enemy of your soul doesn't want to hear that your sin was paid for by the blood of Christ, that Jesus paid the death penalty for your sin. And the enemy does not want to hear that the debt of sin has been canceled by your blood, or by his blood, Jesus' blood. And so, no doubt, the enemy of your soul didn't mind any amount of preaching, just leave the blood out. But my friend, if we leave the blood out, then we don't have anything to preach about or talk about or live for. Because Jesus paid the death penalty for my sin and yours on the cross. Had he not shed his blood, there would not be forgiveness of one sin in this room. Had he not shed his blood, there would be no eternal hope. There would be no sin that's paid for. But I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus pays for every sin. Amen. For one sacrifice. For one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. By one offering himself as the Lamb of God, his blood to atone for our sins. It's the reason we're saved. Praise God. And so they were threatened here because they preached the name of Jesus. Acts 5:28. Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? Look, you have filled Jerusalem. Thank God, they filled a lot of things through the preaching of the word for the name of Jesus. And they proclaimed that this man's blood would bring deliverance from sin and forgiveness. They would boldly proclaim this message even though the opposition was strong, but it wasn't stronger than the message of the cross. And Paul preached the cross. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't leave out the resurrection either. Because there must be a payment for sin, but to have eternal life, there must be a resurrection. And Paul preached to a church in Corinth, or some people in Corinth, and they were godless people. They had every kind of sin you can imagine, but God planted a church there, saved people from all walks of life. All name any sin you want to sin, it was committed in Corinth. It was the Las Vegas of that day, New York City of that day, and I won't name any governors. You already know. But it was a powerful work of God there, for God called people out of every walk of life, every sinful lifestyle there was, and saved people. And the reason they were saved is not because they had a good speaker, wasn't saved because they had a good program, not because they gave free camel rides to all the kids. It's not a lot of free things, but it says, 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so he preached the cross, he preached the blood as the atonement for our sins, he preached the sacrifice of Christ taking our place, bearing our sins, amen, being wounded for our transgressions, being bruised for our iniquities. And when they preached the cross and the blood, I want to tell you, people were free, and God started a movement there, and it was called a church. God started the work of God there, amen. A church was planted in that town. People from every filthy sin you can think of were cleansed and made free and delivered and set free, not to continue on in their sin, but to be delivered and to turn and go the other way and begin to live for Jesus instead. And so the apostles here, they were under threat because they preached Jesus as the only way to heaven. And I can tell you, wherever this gospel is preached, we have testimonies constantly come in by missionaries that you support, I support, we support. Where this gospel has been preached, it has resulted in people being delivered from sinful addictions. It has resulted in homes being healed, marriages being healed, relationships being healed, deliverance from sinful things that rob people of peace and hope and love. My friend, can I tell you what a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved, the name of Jesus. Paul preached to the church at Galatia, and they were people that were saved out of all kinds of sin. God established a church there, and he says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So we know that the cross and the preaching of the blood was powerful. And then they had a prayer for boldness to speak the name of Jesus. When they were threatened, they had a prayer meeting. Verse 29, and here's the prayer. They began to pray. The disciples came together after they were told, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Leave Jesus out of it. Just stay away from the Jesus thing. Don't preach Jesus. Don't preach the resurrection. Don't preach the blood. Don't preach the cross. They came together, and they were not going to be told they couldn't do this. And they began to pray. In verse 29, it says, now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So they prayed, Lord, you've told us to preach this word. You told us to carry this gospel to the end of the earth, and now they're persecuting us. And you've seen what's going on. They've forbidden us to speak in your name. They've told us to leave the name of Jesus out of everything. But Lord, would you grant us that with all boldness we may speak your word and call on your people may call upon your name and be saved. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. They spoke Jesus' words. Fear was overcome because they valued people's souls and lives. They valued people, and so they preached the word and only a message that God that would save people from sin and death and hell. Philippians 2 and 9 says, therefore God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and given him, Jesus, the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's what's going to happen. There will be a day when every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And my friend, that happened after this, as the people began to fast and pray to seek the face of God, and God began to show them powerful things and mighty things. And man, they went and they preached every word. God confirmed his word with signs following. I want to tell you today, friend, I want to see some signs following this year. I want to be some testimonies of people healed and delivered and set free. I want to hear some testimonies of people who have been delivered from demonic oppression. I want to hear some people that are set free from discouragement, depression, and despair, and things that the devil has put up on them to try to discourage them and tell them, stay away from church. My friend, you don't need to stay away from God. You don't need to stay away from his word. You need to rise up and say, in the name of Jesus, I am what I am because he did what he did. He went to the cross for me. I'm going to speak the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the answer, not sort of an answer, not one of many answers, but the only answer that there is for the world today. Jesus is the answer, not one of several, but the only answer, your only answer, your only hope, but a wonderful and available and a precious, wonderful hope and security as we walk with him. Amen. So pray in the name of Jesus into our world today. That's man's greatest need, is Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord.